Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that go out of my mouth will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which they were sent. Amen. Forty-four years ago, in 1974, I was the assistant credit manager of American Home Foods, seated at my desk in the credit department on the second floor of the main plant, when Lee Tufel came out to me over his break one morning. He gave me a copy of a poem he had written, Where the Rubber Meets the Road. Lee was very passionate about his faith, and he never missed an opportunity or a chance to evangelize with anyone. But it made an impression on me that he would walk all the way from back in the plant area up two full flights of stairs in front of the building to give me a poem. Although I no longer have a copy of this poem, and neither do his children, the title tells me what I need to know, how to apply the scriptures. A few years back, a gentleman known to me, who was looking for a church home, church family, approached me and asked where I went to church. I told him New Hope Lutheran Brethren. After chatting with him for a while about our mission that we strive to obey, to love, support, encourage, and motivate each other, proclaim and live the gospel, and faithfully witness God's truth, and that we lift up Jesus Christ in all we are and do. I told him that our pastor does not candy coat his sermons. There was no wishy-washy, feely-good verbiage in his sermons. He just told us where the rubber hits the road. This gentleman said to me, "You're too tough." Too tough. I don't know what he was looking for, but it wasn't a genuine relationship with our Savior. We're not tough. God is tough. Living according to where the rubber meets the road does make it tough. Anything worthwhile is tough. Flank steak, top round steak are tough. How does one know how to cook the less tenders of beef unless you go to the internet and learn the tenderizing techniques of marinades and salt, which breaks down the sinewy texture? Living our life needs marinating, or the breaking down of the barriers that keep us from a general relationship with God. So it is with our spiritual life. God has given us the instruction manual, the Bible, on how to live. There is no other way. What does it mean where the rubber hits the road? It means when your life is put to the test, the moment of truth, when it truly, truly counts. And this is certainly daily. The rubber can't go any further than the road. It's time to pay the piper. When you as a Christian face trials and attempt to remain faithful to your calling, now pretend you are the tire. There are seven things that a tire needs to have happen in order to come out on top. First thing, when a tire meets the road, it needs to be in balance. Tires are man-made and therefore imperfect. We humans are also made incomplete. Like a tire, we're not perfect yet. God's Holy Spirit is needed for us to achieve true balance. The second thing is tires need to be in alignment. We can't be leaning to the left or right, liberal or conservative, or as it says in Galatians 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Number three, good tires are protected against road hazards, such as nails, curbs, rocks, potholes. They're protected with a steel belt. We have the armor of God, as stated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. The fourth thing, good tires have good tread. Tread can symbolize the distance we need to keep from the world. We need to have a firm grip, in other words, in control of our relationships with the world to be able to avoid collisions and keep the heat dissipated. The fifth thing, tires need to be inflated with the right amount of pressure. When we were born, God breathed in us the breath of life. Before long, we either puff ourselves up with pride and ego or become deflated with a variety of situations. The scripture I've studied and God's Holy Spirit have followed have a way of keeping us properly inflated. God's word is like a tire gauge to check our pressure daily and then yielding to God's Holy Spirit to keep us properly inflated. Number six, to get the most wear out of a tire, to even out the wear among all of them, tires need to be rotated periodically. How does that apply to us? It is very easy to get in a rut and take things for granted. We need to open our minds and see things from different perspectives. And number seven, always make sure the correct tire is used for the situation or job intended. You wouldn't put an airline tire on a Volkswagen or a farm tractor tire on a race car. One is not better than another, but is designed and suited for a purpose. So this last point has to do with understanding our roles in the work of God. Each job is equally important, and it is where God has you now. It's not easy to rejoice always, give thanks in everything. It's a long road from earth to heaven, and for some of us, the road is filled with bumps, potholes, endless delays, and unexplained detours. But there is a reward awaiting us at the end of the journey. When we live this way, when we give thanks in the worst moments of life, we are gaining an internal reward we can never lose. By faith, day by day, in good times and bad, in strength and in weakness, in sickness and in health, we are following in the steps of the man who came from heaven. Stephen Curtis Chapman, on his album, Signs of Life, has a song, Where the Rubber Meets the Road. It begins from a perspective of a young boy sitting at the wheel of his father's Oldsmobile. He can't reach the pedals. The car is never taken out of park. But in the little boy's mind, he just took the checkered flag at Indy. Then one day, this boy's dreams come true, and Dad throws him the keys and says, let's see what you can do. He drives for about an hour, finally making it around the block. And as he returned, he says, I was in all my glory Dad was in a state of shock. And then he comes to the realization that the road's a different place when the wheel is in your hand. You can dream and scheme and talk about it, read it in a book. But there comes a time when we got to get out of the classroom and onto the road. The chorus of this song says, fire up your engines, come on, let's go. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's time to put in motion everything you know. This is where the rubber meets the road. And the last verse is especially insightful. I've got a Bible on the table. I've got five more on my shelf. I've got a head full of knowledge, far from what I'd call a wealth. But I know what I do know. Better yet, I know who knows me. And he's giving us directions, and he's throwing us the key, saying, fire up your engines, come on, let's go. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's time to put in motion everything you know. This is where the rubber meets the road. And I want to give credit to David Parks of the Christian Church of Christ for the following poem. Just Next to Me. Our preacher sure did pour it on, but he just left me be. He took the starch all out of them that sat just next to me. You should have heard the things he said. It was true as it could be. He burned the seat from under them that sat just next to me. He hit the nail square on the head. With him I did agree. He trimmed the dead limb off them that sat just next to me. And when I got to thinking, I felt sneaking as could be. And when I turned to look at him, his guns were turned on me. What did me fail to recognize? Self-application, which leads to personal responsibility. The Bible teaches us the concept of personal responsibility. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, we read, "The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him." The commands of the Old Testament were attached to blessings for obedience and penalties for disobedience. In other words, the law emphasized the responsibility of individuals to respond to morally appropriate ways to God's revealed truth. God clearly defined right and wrong, and his people were expected to do what was right. This has been the case ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam was given a specific command and was expected to obey it. Later, Adam's son Cain was warned by God in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, that he would be held personally responsible for his actions. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 7 to 8, Jonah was held responsible for his choice to run from the Lord. In Numbers 8, chapter 18, verse 5, the Levites were responsible for the care of the tabernacle. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, the deacons of the early church took personal responsibility for meeting some practical needs of the church. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, Paul was given the responsibility to blaze a gospel trail to the Gentiles. The Bible expects us to take personal responsibility in all areas of life. Able-bodied people should work for their food. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul tells the people of Thessalonica, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat." In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." At times, people try to avoid personal responsibility, even though usually through blame shifting or passing the buck. I'm sure we all have experienced being on this end of the rope as we went through our working careers. Too many times a worker is not held responsible for his or her wrongdoing, but instead the whole department is given new rules which placate the wrongdoer and puts the onus on the rest of the department, who suffers because of the culprit who was not solely corrected. In Genesis 3, verse 12, Adam tried to blame Eve for his sins. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, Cain tried to dodge responsibility. And in Matthew 27, verse 24, we read, "When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead of an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. 'I am innocent of this man's blood,' he said. 'It is your responsibility.'" This is where today's phrase, "I wash my hands of something I don't want to deal with," came from. Ultimately, attempts to pass the buck are futile. As we read in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, "But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. For each of us, we have the responsibility to repent and believe the good news, as stated in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and then to glorify the Lord with good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we read, for since the creation of the world, God's indivisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We cannot evade our personal responsibility to exercise faith in Christ. So where does the rubber meet the road? Precisely at the time of judgment. Not to worry if we follow Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is for God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May the whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. We are told in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It's kind of ironic that this message comes so soon after the passing of my brother-in-law, and I felt compelled to share this with you. Never blame anyone in your life. Good people give you happiness. Bad people give you experience. Worst people give you a lesson. And best people give you memories. I'd call my brother-in-law's passing the passing of a common man. Heavenly Father, out of the depths I cry to you, dear Lord. I know that you hear my voice. I do need power beyond my own to cope with all the situations that face me here. Help me to have faith enough to respond to your love and grace enough to accept all your blessings. Give me the strength I need to master all my problems. I ask this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, the great healer. All this I humbly pray. Amen and amen. Would the ushers please come forward?